Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Yes, it's me. I'm back. Don't worry. It was only 1 week. And here I am again, James Edwards, in studio with you from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship. It's October 10th, 2009, and we are very, very excited about tonight's broadcast, as we always are, particularly so because I guess it's October, and October is always a special time for us in the political cesspool. We're going to talk more about that at length during tonight's second hour, but of course, just in a nutshell, it goes without saying that this program was conceived. We came into being on October 26th of 2004. That means in just a couple of short weeks, we will be 5 years old. 5 years in this business. My God. And it's been a great ride. And it's only getting better tonight as I introduce my co-host for the first hour, none other than Mr. Keith Alexander. Keith, how are you?
Yes, how are you doing? You enjoying your vacation?
Well, always. You know, we don't get to vacation enough here in the cesspool. Vacationing for us is just climbing out of the sewer and toweling off. But we do what we can with what we've got. It is good. And last week was good. I mean, last week, of course, Bill Rowland filled in admirably. I will say that Bill had a very eventful show, and I won't go into any more detail than that. But he did have a couple of very esteemed guests. Always the venerable Dr. David Yeagley was on last week during the first hour, followed by the iconic Eustace Mullins, who studied under the legendary Ezra Pound. So I think we can safely say that Bill's show last week was one for the archives. But nevertheless, Keith and I were out last week, as were Winston Smith and Eddie Miller, because we were hosting a private reception in commemoration of our 5 years on the radio with some of our more generous benefactors in the local Memphis area, and we had a great time with those folks. It was a pleasure. Bill lost at the hand of drawing straws, and he had to go in and host a show last week while we commiserated with some of our most generous donors, but it certainly was great to celebrate with them as we prepare for our five-year anniversary. That's where we were last week, but this week we are back at work. And happy to be here. Keith, I know we've got a full agenda tonight. Reverend Ted Pike will be on with us during the second hour tonight as we talk about the hate crimes legislation, a very important update that we're going to be bringing to you, an urgent action update that you'll be receiving tonight during the second hour. But before we get into any of that, Keith, the first hour, as always with you, is chock full of important information. So without further ado, we'll get right into it. Obviously, a lot of news has piled up because it has been officially 2 weeks since we were on the air. I noticed today I got a report that Ted Kennedy is celebrating 39 days of sobriety today. And above and beyond that, we learned that the Nobel Peace Prize just doesn't quite mean as much as we thought it did. Barack Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize in a move that even Democrats are saying is controversial. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize 11 days into his administration. He has done absolutely nothing of substance, yet awarded with what was supposed to be a very prestigious honor. And with that being said, Keith, I'll turn it over to you because there's a lot of ways we can go with that.
Well, wasn't it Nobel that invented dynamite or something? Is that and he made all this money and felt that he needed to make amends some way, so he, came up with this annual award or series of awards. Well, it would seem to me that he's dropped another bomb, but, you know, should we be surprised at all, James? Look at the people that have won this award in the past. Jimmy Carter, Al Gore, Nelson Mandela, Kofi Annan. You know, it's a veritable rogues gallery of the left, people that are
notable for the destruction of
Western civilization in every respect. So, you know, of course, we would expect Barack Obama to get this, but you know.
But just in the manner in which he received it, Al Gore at least made a movie. I mean, you know, obviously it was a hokey
Well, it was obviously
childish
a ghost movie.
Obama
has
done less than nothing, Keith. I mean, I was reading in The Atlantic magazine, which is sort of a venerable publication
Of the left.
Intelligentsia. But they were saying that it's – well, what they said was it's too early for Obama to win it, but he definitely deserved it. And what did he deserve it for? They actually gave him the award for things that they hope he will do throughout his administration, fostering good relations among the nations. And, obviously he's not going to be doing anything like that. He's not going to stop the war in Iraq. He's not going to do anything to deter what the Zionists want done in
I think
Iran.
They gave it to him as consolation for not getting the Olympics for Chicago. I tell you another thing that it shows the nature of the race traders in places like Norway, that, you know, they are constantly trying to boost up the enemies of Western civilization. And just look at the record of who they give these awards to. You know, this is the most meaningless award since the Heisman Trophy, really.
Well, you bring up a good word there, talking about the traitors in Norway and their assault on Western civilization. We have done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of radio programs over the course of the last 5 years now. And I think in all of those episodes, the message that we are trying to deliver can perhaps be boiled down to a single sentence. And it's a one-liner that has been sent to me by a listener of the program in Arkansas. And the message he wants us to get out to the audience, and I think this is something that people ought to know. This is it. People who work to destroy Western civilization are evil people. And we ought not have anything to do with evil people. We ought not support evil entities, but we need to ingratiate that within our minds and in our souls and know who our friends are and those who are working against us. And if they're working against us, we don't need to let them into our homes and have access to our families. People who work to destroy Western civilization are evil people. And certainly,
well,
I think
nobody
you can now
should
include
have
the Nobel Committee in that category.
Nobody should have any misconceptions whatsoever about the nature of the Nobel Prize system now. The Nobel Prize system is leftist to the core, destructive to the core, anti-white to the core, and, you know, they were just looking for an opportunity to reward this person who they think is some type of groundbreaker, because they think this is the beginning of the end for Western civilization. If the United States is going to elect a guy that's accomplished nothing in his life except be telegenic or photogenic, and speaks well from a teleprompter, then they know that we're well on our way to, destruction. And that's what they seek. So nobody should ever have any misapprehension in their mind from this moment on that there is anything truly distinguished or truly praiseworthy about the Nobel Prize, the Nobel Prize system, or any of the people that have won the Nobel Prize in the past 30 years.
Well, Keith, you're exactly right about that, and it goes without saying that
it's been hijacked by cultural Marxism for the benefit of the
left. We didn't expect anybody worthy to win the Nobel Prize. Let's just set that straight. I guess that's the point I'm trying to reach here, but I certainly didn't expect anyone, a freshman president. There's only been two sitting presidents that have ever won the Nobel Prize, never a man in his freshman term, And again, he was nominated 11 days into his first term. That's just utterly, utterly ridiculous. I mean, that's a joke. It is truly a joke now, if it wasn't before.
Look at Jimmy Carter. What did he win it for? He won it for bringing peace to the Middle East. But did he bring peace to the Middle East?
Yeah, they've been.
Of course
it's been
not.
It's been nothing but peace and goodwill over there since Carter's
administration. He's the biggest bag of hot air and nothing to come along the pike since, until Barack Obama. You know, he's a vapid fool, and then we have Barack Obama come along and do nothing, and he's basically, I guess, being awarded an award for style points, because even people in the left acknowledge that he hasn't accomplished very much, certainly not enough to justify getting an award like this. So consequently, let's just look at the core, which is that the award itself is meaningless and errant foolishness, and nobody should ever again bother to even, you know, blink and look up when somebody, you know, announces something like who's won the Nobel Prize or Peace Prize, because it's an award for nothing.
Well, I think it's also another example of just how overzealous the left is in ramrodding their agenda down the throats of European Americans. I mean, this is just utterly preposterous. I guess it's preposterous that we've spent 15 minutes commentating about it, but something this bizarre, Keith, every time I think I have seen
well,
the most ridiculous that they have to offer.
Any attention to anything coming out of Europe.
Anyway, we got to take
right
a break. We'll be back.
Messages.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Thank you, Art Frith, and Frankie Valli. I'll tell you, Keith, it just doesn't matter what kind of disposition I'm in, what kind of mood, what kind of day I've had. I hear the music of the Four Seasons, and I'm on cloud nine. I can't be stopped. That's what it does. I know it has that effect on you too, Keith.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. You know, Jersey Boys is coming to town. By the way,
you gave me a good opportunity for a public service announcement. Keith is exactly right. The Broadway musical, the award-winning musical Jersey Boys, which depicts the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, is coming right here to Memphis, the Orpheum Theater, I think in December, January, something like that.
I knew you would know about that.
If you want to feel good on the inside, like I feel every time I do this radio show, you'll go and buy tickets, or just tune into the radio.
Well, you'll see what America used to be like before the victory of liberalism.
And that's another thing. So we can politicize anything. That's the magic of us. That's the magic we have. But welcome back to the show.
They don't make music like that anymore. You know what?
That's the God's honest truth. That's absolutely a fact. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, everyone. James Edwards here. Great to be back with you. I took my first night off in God knows how many years last week, and Bill Rowland filled in while we were hosting a benefactors dinner for local contributors to the program. Of course, it's great to be back with you here from AM 1380 WLRM Radio Studios in Memphis. Of course, we're going out to the AM and FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, the best radio network in the business, and to our internet and satellite audiences as well, to people who are downloading us on podcast, and of course, the Liberty News Y. You can even listen to us over the phone now. So many methods of delivery we have now at our disposal, and that's what comes with standing the test of time, with consistency, as we've done for 5 years. You pick up a few tricks along the way. And anyway, Keith, we were talking, obviously, in the first segment about the farce that the Nobel Peace Prize has become. I know you want to quickly wrap up our train of thought on that before segueing over into another topic.
Well, I didn't get a chance to complete my thought. I said that it shows you that we don't need to pay any attention to anything coming out of Europe. And what I intend to say in response to that is that, or to amplify on that, is that don't listen to anything coming from the establishment in Europe, nothing from the sitting governments of Europe or the cultural czars that they have in Europe, the establishment like the Nobel Peace Prize Committee. The only information coming out of Europe that is worth listening to, because most of it is nothing but green-eyed, envious criticism of America and red state Americans, is from groups that are of a like mind us, like the British National Party and similar groups throughout Europe, where conservative people that are concerned about their blood and soil heritage are rising up. That's one of the most hopeful signs, and certainly we want to pay attention to that and hope to emulate it in the United States.
Well, we're doing our part here, I think, with this radio program, and there are some other good organizations and activists here that are making a point to carry the tenets and the ethos of Western civilization, and that's what we need more of. You're mentioning the strides that are being made in Europe. Of course, in Europe, they're much more oppressed, and I hope it doesn't take us suffering to the extent that they have before we'll rise up. But there ought to be organizations out there like this radio program that explicitly say that we are here to stand up and serve as the voice for European Americans. Every other racial minority or ethnic group in the country have their media entities and their advocacy organizations. So should, too, the majority be allowed to have representation. And, Keith, I think we're it. I think we are it in this country. I think this radio program has become, and we'll talk more about this again in the second hour, one of the preeminent voices and most recognizable entities of the paleoconservative right. And that's
let's just call it by its proper name, common sense. We're one of the preeminent voices of common sense in America.
I guess if you want to boil it down to the lowest common denominator, yes, that's what it is. That's what conservatism is. I think it's exactly that, common sense.
One of the few places where common sense gets a hearing. And, you know, I'm really feeling good about things generally right now because
what is
happening culturally now is that the left is in power, and given enough rope, they will almost invariably hang themselves, which is what's happening right now. And I have in mind specifically things like the Roman Polanski scandal, his arrest,
let's just talk about
David
that
Letterman
real quick.
Scandal, Acorn, all of these things.
Yeah, Bill Roland addressed to some extent the Roman Polanski scandal last week, but this is a very interesting case. You know, Roman Polanski, the Jewish director of certain films, rapes the 13-year-old girl at the time, and all of the Hollywood moguls rally, almost instinctively it seemed, to his defense. Would they have, put their names on the line for, an anonymous, child molester in middle America? I don't think so. Keith, what's going on here?
Well, you know, they always show their true colors because they flock to the defense of evil whenever evil is about to get its just reward. For example, remember they had the West Memphis Three, this pair of trio of goth youths that wantonly killed some boys around 9, 10, 11 years old in West Memphis some years ago, and all of these left-wingers, including the same suspects that are flocking to the defense of Roman Polanski, came out of the woodwork with a defense fund for them. Now we have Roman Polanski, like you said, a little Jewish auteur, a movie maker, a little, 4'9" sissy or something that likes to prey on underage girls, married a 15-year-old girl, I understand, Natasha Kinski, or at least had an affair with her, and he's finally being brought to justice. He pleads guilty to his crime, uses the extra time he gains through that guilty plea before being in prison to flee the country, and has been living in the lap of luxury in Europe, lionized as a great director, as a multimillionaire for decades now, and he finally gets nabbed. Maybe that's the connection with the Nobel Prize. Maybe they think by buttering up Obama with the Nobel Prize, they can persuade him into granting amnesty or clemency to Roman Polanski.
Well, their defense of Polanski is just incomprehensible. What are they saying as the excuse to absolve him of any responsibility on this issue? I mean,
well, they basically say that if you're a great artist or something, which at least in their eyes, I think he's fairly close to a no-talent bum, but like most of the people in Hollywood. But if you have a high enough standing, then you're not held accountable to the same standards as the little people.
Well, look at it this way. This is the best comparison that I can draw of this situation. This is a man who, if my facts are correct, essentially admitted that this, in fact, happened. This isn't an alleged thing. He was, I believe, convicted of it. Is that correct, Keith?
Yeah. Well, didn't one convicted. He pled guilty to it.
Okay, he pled guilty to it. Okay, I stand corrected. That's even better. All right, so a man pleads guilty to statutory rape. A crime was absolutely committed in this instance, yet they are saying, irregardless, he should not face justice. Now, compare that to the instance involving Ernst Zundel, a man who committed no crime, yet was rounded up by the authorities at his home in eastern Tennessee and exported to Germany, deported to Germany, for basically, you know, espousing his freedom of speech as an American citizen. Where's the outcry there? A man in which no crime was committed sent to Germany, where he has been languishing in prison for the last 7 years, compared to a man who admitted raping a girl, and that's obviously not anything worthy of any sort of consequence.
Don't
anyway,
go away.
We got to take a break. We'll be back with more right
guys.
After this.
We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. I tell you, the marvels of modern technology, Keith, never ceased to amaze me. I'm sitting here. We're doing this radio program that's going out all over the country, indeed around the world, through all of those different vehicles that we have at our disposal that gets this message out every week, and I'm texting my wife on the cell phone. I'm doing it all, and I'm not technologically inclined. I'm living the life, Keith. What can I say? But welcome back to the show, everyone. And we're talking about a lot of things. It's sort of a celebratory night. We're in October. October is always a great time of year. The fall is coming in. The leaves are changing. Weather's turning cooler here in the Mid-South, which is always a welcome.
And the left is on the run.
The political cesspool celebrates a birthday, so we're excited about that. We're celebrating over a month of sobriety for Teddy Kennedy and all sorts of stuff tonight. But we do obviously have some serious things to discuss as well. Once again, the double standards that exist between leftist radicals like Roman Polanski, Zionist radicals, and the kind of justice we would receive if we broke the law.
Yeah,
and I'm all for that.
Listen,
if anybody breaks the law,
they
should face justice. But unlike the left, I believe that everyone should be measured by the same standards. But Keith, back over to you.
Well, just think about, compare Roman Polanski and all of these powerful, influential people that are coming to his defense with the fact that the current Attorney General and the Democrats in the American Congress are now striving to pass a law that would give funding so they can try to resurrect prosecutions for civil rights-era crimes. You know, they're going to track down these wheezing octogenarians with walkers and oxygen tanks and try to have Stalinist-type show trials for them, while somebody like Roman Polanski, they're offended. They're absolutely horrified this man might suffer any jail time for raping a minor. Now, it's absolutely incredible. You know, the left is just, you know, it just leaves you speechless when you consider their chutzpah.
Well, speaking the, and that's a good word, an appropriate word, I might add. But speaking of the left, where does David Letterman fit into all this? I guess in a sense, we're talking about trivial matters here compared to certainly more important matters that we're going to be talking about during the second hour, such as the hate crimes bill, which is going to make criminals of all of us, apparently.
Is, James, it's both he and Polanski are basically casting couch episodes where they use their power and influence to try to get women into compromising positions and to extort sex from them in return for some vague promise of career advancement. And see what this is doing. It's basically the left's whole facade of righteousness that they work so assiduously to create is coming crashing down around their ears over the past several weeks with things like Polanski and Acorn and Letterman. It shows that we're learning that, you know, this facade they've so assiduously tried to hide from. I mean, they're true nature, which they've tried to hide from outsiders, that they're basically the advocates of evil, is now being exposed. You know, all you have to do is put them out there, let them have enough rope, like I said, and they'll hang themselves.
Well, do you think David Letterman hung himself?
Well, he showed himself to be a predatory male who used his power and influence to extort sex or to force sex from women. And he proved, one, that he is, despite this kind of all-shucks Midwestern persona that he tries to project, that he's just one of these typical casting couch media type, just like Polanski was. You know, they're very similar, actually, in terms of their technique.
Sounds like they could all be members of Acorn, right, Keith?
Yeah, and Acorn, of course, has been, exposed as being, a group that tries to use government programs in order to bring the government down. That's what they do. They, for example, this pimp prostitute situation where you had two conservative young people come in and pretend to be a pimp and a prostitute, and then without missing a beat, the people in, I think it was the Baltimore, Maryland branch of Acorn, they never say anything negative about what they're proposing. They tell them exactly how to not only how to access public benefits in order to assist them in running a brothel. This is what our government, our Congress, has decided to lavishly fund to the extent of millions of dollars a year, a group that is intentionally trying to promote criminal enterprises like this brothel that was being proposed by these, conservative activists that were in disguise, so to speak.
You see what we got to put up with, ladies and gentlemen. You see what we got to put up with every day. It's not just that they. I mean, you couldn't. Again, we got to go back to the catchphrase of the night: people who work to destroy Western civilization.
That's what they are.
American people
being exposed
are evil.
People that flaunt
these are
the law.
Evil people.
Law means nothing to them. They're lawless. But this is the definition of lawlessness.
They're lawless. They're evil.
The law
and
means
see,
not
this
a
is another
wit
thing. We I think as a people tend to be too, philanthropic, with too kind, too willing to turn the other cheek and grant forgiveness. We have got, no forgiveness for the people who are working to destroy our people.
They have
no forgiveness.
Bigger,
this is an unpardonable sin. We have got to hold these people accountable. This is, I don't know why this is preconditioned. No one else would allow folks who have done so much damage to their family to get a pass and continue to get a pass. They always get a pass. Middle America really cares, Keith, about Roman Polanski.
Well, you see what the people that are supposedly molding or trying to mold our collective consciousness are up to. The people in Hollywood that give us movies that supposedly determine who is a hero, who is a villain in American society. They keep psychologically conditioning us. What type of people are they? They are reprehensible villains. People like Letterman, people like Polanski, people like Acorn. They are the worst of the worst. They're the absolute scum of the earth.
Well, and as bad as they are, I have a feeling, and I don't say this from a position of braggadociously, bragging as if I have some sort of authority on the matter, I guess is the word that I'm, the phrase that I'm looking for. But as bad as Acorn and these folks are, I have a feeling that the people in the listening audience don't know the half of it. I mean, they really don't know to the extent of the hatred that propels these organizations like Acorn. I mean, we went through quite an episode with the local Acorn branch in Memphis last year in which they threatened all acts of violence, including murder. And, they got a pass from the media, and Joe Sixpack and his wife at home watching the college football game on Saturday never even knew it happened.
Yeah,
and if they did know, they couldn't have cared less because, let's face it, it can't get in the way of beer time.
Well,
we know what's
the
going on
media,
out there. We're living
example,
on the front line,
League
folks.
With
You've
they,
got
they
to
basically
be aware.
Approve of them wholeheartedly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And the local media, ladies and gentlemen, in your town does too. They approve of Roman Polanski. They approve of David Letterman. They approve of Acorn. And never forget that.
Well, and this is exactly why there needs to be not just one political cesspool. There needs to be shows like ours in every major market, shows that speak up for true conservatism. And that's really, in a nutshell, what we're about. I mean, you can go, of course, to our website, and you can read our mission statement, and you can read our statement of principles and all of the other biographical information about this program and why we do what we do here, and why we've done it consistently for the last 5 years. But basically, in a nutshell, there is no other mainstream radio entity out there that is espousing the tenets of true, pure conservatism. And we are. And that's what we do. But there should be more of it. There can't just be one. Folks, this is an ethos that is still adopted by a great number, if not the majority, of middle American, red state Americans, as Keith always describes them as being.
Well, you see what people like Polanski and Letterman and Acorn represent. They represent people who have nothing but thinly veiled scorn for what they consider to be the hated bourgeoisie, the middle class of America, and its values, which they flaunt and violate at every opportunity. And they are totally offended and very vocal if anyone tries to hold these people to the standards the rest of us are held to.
Well, Keith, with that, we got to take another timeout. Sit tight, everybody, right after these words from our sponsors. We'll be back with more.
Political Cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, the work that we do on air is complemented by our website and our blog, which is updated multiple times a day with original content and exclusive postings from myself and some of the other staff members of this radio program. And I highly encourage fans of this program who just don't get enough of us on the regular Saturday night weekly broadcast to check out our website early and often throughout the week for the latest news and commentary about things, media stories that have caught our eye. One of which, and of course that website, as always, is thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith, we were talking about the blog during the break there, during the commercial break, and there was an entry that I posted, I don't know, it was about a week ago, I guess. It kind of harkens back to something we were lamenting earlier in the program tonight, that being that despite the fact that European Americans still represent roughly 65 to 70% of the population of this country, there are no media outlets other than this program, at least, excuse me, radio outlets. There are obviously some print publications and some other organizations like the Council of Conservative Citizens and American Renaissance, European Americans United. I mean, there's some groups out there. But in terms of mainstream media, radio presence, we're the only one that says we love everybody. We wish no one any ill will or mistreatment. We believe in equal rights for all and special privileges for none. But we feel as though all of the other groups have their own representation. And this program pulls no punches in saying that we explicitly are here to serve as a voice for the European-American majority of this country.
Well, you know, we've
and we
about
are, of course,
before.
A global minority. Let me point that out as well. In terms of everybody thinks we're in this global, we're speaking in global terms now. Well, of course, European-derived people are a very minuscule global minority. But anyway, I said all that to say this: there was a extremely long article that I blogged about a few days ago about California. And you can go, again, read it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Read it for yourself. It goes into why California is going to hell in a handbasket. And predictably, in over 4,000 words, the author never once mentions race or immigration. That is the foremost and perhaps singular reason why California is becoming a third world country. establishment, if I can use the word, and yet not once is it even mentioned in passing in a 4,000-word article documenting why California is on the current trajectory that it is. And people wonder why the newspapers are dying. That's it.
Well, you know, James, it's like a doctor diagnosing an illness. A correct diagnosis is necessary to have correct treatment. And when you miss the primary malady that is causing an illness, how can you expect to treat it? You know, that one thing that we stand for at this program, if you want to boil us down to our essence, would be to say that race matters. Race and ethnicity matter. If you want to know why America has declined so precipitously over the past 55 years, how can you do that in any intelligible fashion, in anything that, you know, will be meaningful, if you ignore race? It's just crazy.
Well, I mean, obviously they're doing their readers a disservice, or perhaps purposefully misleading them. It could be either or, but it doesn't matter. The effect is still the same. But you're never going to once read in the Los Angeles Times the most basic statement that I said in one of my CNN appearances, which is, you can't have, and Keith, I think this was actually a line that you came up with. You can't have a first world population, you can't have a first world country with a third world population. And that, in one sentence, would have done more to describe why California is becoming America's first failed state than anything this author was able to hammer out in 4,000 words. I mean, it's just, that's all it is.
And I think the left knows that.
It's that simple.
I think the left knows that too, James, and they don't want us. They don't want the great middle class of America to know that, because if we know that, we can take steps to stop it. They want to stop any discussion or debate of that proposition.
Well, they've done a good job, but I think one thing, and again, it's been a weak movement to an extent, but probably more than any other thing that I've seen in the last few years, it gives me hope, and this is the Tea Party movement. You've got hundreds of thousands of red state Americans coming together and protesting the very same things that this program would stand in opposition against. The only thing that they're lacking is leadership and perhaps the awakening that they need to have, or the realization that this is an explicitly white movement. I mean, they need to understand that I know it's the Republicans' dream to have a multicultural party, but let's face it, you know, African Americans, Hispanics, they're never going to vote Republican. Why would they? Why would they want to support a party that at least pretends to want to cut down the welfare state and do this, that, and the other? So, no, I mean, you will never find those people in attendance at any of these Tea Party things, but what you will find are tens of thousands of disenfranchised and frustrated European Americans who are looking for something. They're mobilizing. They're coming together, perhaps, Keith, for the first time in my lifetime in such numbers, for a common cause. They just need to know exactly why they're fighting, and if they could figure it out and organize as an ethno-movement, then I think that we could take great strides into reclaiming America's destiny and putting America back to its proper place and standing on the world
stage. Listeners to this show, James, know that. Remember that email we got, a great email, very incisive and very typical of the type of emails we get from our, listening audience out there, from a gentleman named Curtis. I don't want to say anything more than that, but we want to give a shout-out to Curtis. And
absolutely.
For the wonderful email. And he made that specific point. He said that this is the only program that acknowledges that central truth, which is central to understanding the culture war, which is that race matters.
Well, I mean, that's all we're saying. And again, you know, there seems to be, I guess, the classic and most stark double standard out there, where we are deemed by the media to be despicable people for wanting to preserve and protect our way of life and our cultural heritage, whereas it's always a cause for celebration when a member of an American minority class does the exact same thing. All we want are the same entitlements, and not entitlements, even just the same civil rights, the same freedoms to have freedom of association and freedom of speech. And if we're wrong, then debate us as intellectuals in the court of public opinion. But if we're right, we ought to have, and I do believe we're right wholeheartedly, we ought to have the right to espouse our beliefs without the childish and inaccurate character assassinations that so often come from people of our side of the political spectrum, which is, once again, what, ladies and gentlemen? True conservatism, nothing more, nothing less. The kind of conservatism that manifested itself in 1950s America, very, very healthy culture.
What we've talked about before numerous times is that every other identifiable racial or ethnic group in America, besides white Gentiles, is not only permitted but encouraged to have a sense of racial or ethnic solidarity and to lobby, furthermore, on behalf of their group for government benefits, for advantages, for legislation, for representation.
I think we say that.
Except for white Gentiles in America.
I think we say that, Keith, nearly every program now, but it's just something that needs to be beaten into the consciousness of our listening audience, and obviously more people are coming to listen to this program each and every week as we are a growing and successful broadcast. We're finding a home because that which we espouse, the ideas that we articulate on this program, are natural and healthy. There's no hatred in our heart. There's no contempt in our minds for other people. It's just a great love in our hearts for our own family, a love so strong that we put ourselves on the line and do this program at our own expense, physically, financially.
Think about this, though. You know, you were talking about this article about the decline of California. How can you discuss the decline of California intelligently without at least observing the demographic changes in that state, the change in the demographic profile?
Well, that's, again, why this show has been successful to the extent that it has. We tell the truth, and everybody else. Well, that's why newspapers are dying. I mean, it goes without saying. I mean, no one wants to read a bunch of nonsense.
Well, it's
day
like
after
it
day
says
day.
In the Bible,
and they're pandering to the people that don't read newspapers to begin with.
Well, you know, it's like what the Bible says. When people ask for a fish and are given a serpent, like they are by the typical news media outlets today, or they ask for a loaf and are given a stone, they're going to turn elsewhere for spiritual nourishment. That's why we serve the purpose that we do, and we tell the truth, the
one
whole
hour
truth,
down
and nothing
and
but
two
the
to go. Stay tuned. Hour number two of The Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Harv leaped to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Subconscious Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room, all the way down to the amen.